Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Thursday, August 20th, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Yes, you heard that right. Built Bar is back. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Oh, it is so great to have Built Bar back. Make sure to go to BuiltBar.com to get $10 off your next order. Shout out to Built Bar, today's episode sponsor. And on today's episode, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren has spoken. He penned an open letter to the Big Ten community to explain the conference's decision, that including the presidents that they made, to postpone the fall sports season and why they did what they did. There are six main reasons pertaining to the COVID-19 pandemic that Kevin Warren lists in this open letter as to why the Big Ten decided to call off the fall sports season. I'm not going to read those to you right now. You can find the open letter on social media. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast as a faithful fan of the Big Ten community, you have already read that letter. Pretty much they have to do, for the most part, in terms of the ability to contract trace on these campuses, the ability they didn't feel they could test as rapidly as they need. They didn't have the tests that they needed, the resources they needed to be able to trace what was going on their campuses, how they were asking regular students to maintain social distance, to wear masks, yet the ability to tackle and practice a full-blown, full-padded football practice pretty much goes against all CDC guidelines. That in many Big Ten states in the Midwest portion of the country, transmission rates were still rising at a rapid rate. They felt that couldn't be controlled, especially when you add in the student population to a college campus. And as was hinted at last week, when the decision was made, there's too much uncertainty surrounding the long-term effects of COVID-19 that have not been fleshed out, that have not had the time to be fully studied. Not that they have gleaned over it, but they just haven't had the time to study this novel coronavirus and the idea of myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart, the rare disease that comes to that. There's too many uncertainties out there for them to proceed safely in their minds to be able to mitigate that risk. So now finally, we get some answers. And if you don't think these are good enough answers, at least we have some thorough words. But let's not just give the Big Ten a pass here, because this happened 8 days after the initial decision. And this is not badgered in a press conference, because we heard Kevin Warren on Wednesday afternoon be a part of a Sports Business Journal pre-planned interview where he was hyping up the fact that the Big Ten has registered 71% of their student athletes to vote for this upcoming election in November, which is a fantastic initiative, but was given a softball question about why the Big Ten decided to postpone, as he made sure to point out, postpone the fall sports season. And he barely answered it, just said that the emotions were riding high at this time. It's been an emotional past 8 days. And then after that, after this pre-planned interview, sends out a written statement to say why the Big Ten made their decision and why they will also not be reversing course on that decision to possibly bring back a fall sports season. They are putting plans in place right now, as Kevin Warren said in that open letter, in that written statement, to proceed with winter sports and with spring sports and to try to bring back the fall sports season as quickly as possible. It is postponed. It is not canceled. Yet, there is no pass given. We do not say, oh, finally, thank you. No, this has been 8 days since you made one of the most crucial decisions in the history of collegiate athletics. And yes, it is an unprecedented time where we have never expected something like this. But it took you 8 days to put out a written statement to explain why you did what you did. It follows along what the Pac-12 did on the day that they also announced they would be postponing fall sports. It highlights some of the medical risks pertaining to this COVID-19 pandemic. And that makes sense. There's too much uncertainty out there to risk the health of their student athletes. Yes, people can be cynical and they can be skeptical and say it has nothing to do with the money aspect of collegiate athletics. And that is true. But we know as we sit here and we speak that if we are of rational mind, that the idea of amateurism, COVID-19 has shown that that system is broken. So we take that with a grain of salt in understanding what Kevin Warren is saying in this written statement. However, it took you 8 days? And listen, folks, the Big Ten has taken a lot of slack, even more slack Then the Pac-12 was taken, who also announced the postponement of their fall sports season on the same exact day following the Big Ten. The Big Ten is a leader of a conference. It was the first to announce a conference-only schedule, that they would be moving to such a thing, and also as a part of this open letter explaining the reasons why, explaining they would not be reversing course on their initial decision. He also made sense of VoteGate. Did the conference presidents actually come to a vote when it came to their decision to postpone the college fall sports season? He said they did vote and that the vote was overwhelmingly in support of postponing fall sports, and then added it will not be revisited. And in this past week, in these past 8 days, the Big Ten has taken a whole lot of flack. The ramifications of such a monumental decision have been felt throughout all of college football, and it has led to crazy things, right? It has led to the idea of Nebraska being a traitor and leaving the conference and all that came with that, which is completely unfounded. And we know, speaking to Nick Hanley, that the Huskers never actually wanted to disband the Big Ten and to get out of there, right? But it has led to Justin Fields, the premier quarterback in the entire conference, getting a petition signed over 280,000 times to demand answers and to let the Big Ten Conference know they want to play. It has led to parents of these schools going to Chicago and planning a peaceful protest on Friday afternoon outside the league office in Chicago. It has led to things like, yes, let's talk about it, Sir Yacht becoming a college football insider, breaking news, and people gravitating towards that news and putting their optimism and putting their faith in it, because this entire time, there has been no word until Wednesday evening from the Big Ten Conference. When you don't say anything, speculation runs amok. And that is the environment that kind of decision leads. If you do not back up your decision with a statement, with some questions, with some answers, speculation will always run wild. And that is what we have had here. Some people may say, Ben, why did you have Sir Yacht on the Locked On Big Ten podcast on Wednesday? How could you favor content over credibility? To that, I say this. I believe, truly, that up until today, Sir Yacht believed what his source was giving him was legitimate and that it was credible. He also, in a span of 48 hours, became a tastemaker not only in the Big Ten Conference, but across the entire landscape of college football. And I believed, and just out of my own curiosity as a fan as well, I wanted to hear from him and hear the sources that he had and how credible those would be and exactly what information he was getting. I never said, if you listen back to the podcast, that I agree with his ultimate breaking news alerts. I never said that I thought the Big Ten would come back. I never said that his breaking news would come to fruition, because there are so many complicated factors in bringing about such a decision. But I felt, and I'll stand by this, that he believed what he had was credible, and he deserved a chance to share some of that information. What he is doing right now and going on to say that Kevin Warren is a liar, that a little bit beyond me. Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever that has become even more delicious, even delicious-er, if you will. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut varieties. 6 new flavors since they've been back on the market. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. My mouth is watering. Those are some incredible flavors. And when you mention that taste, because the bars are covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft and easy to chew. It's really like having a delicious treat each and every day, but it doesn't stop there, because Built Bars are incredible and they are very, very healthy as well. The bars are low calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. They are great for the keto diet, if that's your thing. Let's look at the flavor profile of one of those new flavors, the Cherry Barcia. 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of net carbs, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 130 calories. What better way to focus on your health during these times and still eat something that is delicious, delicious-er, than taking a Built Bar and snacking down on that? So right now, make sure you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And it, 3, 2, and the fun doesn't end there. While supplies last, this is only going to last for maybe about a week or so, you get a free cooler with your purchase. Built Bar, expanding into every variation of your life. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. What I will say is, again, it took the Big Ten Conference 8 days to release anything, any sort of explanation as to why they postponed the fall sports season. And they have taken so much flack for it that it has distracted from the overall issue. That being, is it safe to play collegiate athletics in such an environment while a global pandemic is continuing to rage on? How can the Big Ten medical experts say that it's not safe, but the SEC and the ACC are saying, nope, we're good to go and we're good to proceed at this time? Sure, different people can look at data and infer different things. But we're getting distracted from the idea that we are at a completely tumultuous point here and that we're marching forward to the September 26th Holy Land that I have called it before, that we will be able to play college football. We are at a crossroads where you have some of the most premier conferences in all of collegiate athletics in the Power Five, right? The Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC going in completely different paths, going on completely different trajectories. The Big Ten saying, not only have we postponed the fall sports season, we will not revisit that decision. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 moving forward. Is the virus not going on in the same places? Can the effects of coronavirus not be felt the same way in Columbus, Ohio, as it is in Athens, Georgia? So again, we get back to this idea. Why is that? Why is what the Big Ten is putting out right now, which to the reasonable mind seems to make sense? There's too much uncertainty, and if there's too much left to chance and you don't feel you are in a position to mitigate that risk, you don't do it. That completely makes sense, at least to me. But why is it that the Big Ten is saying one thing and some of the other Power Five conferences are saying something completely different? Again, we get back to the initial point that we discussed last Tuesday when we did that emergency podcast. There will be a right side of history, and at least at this point, there will be a wrong side of history. If the other Power Five schools are able to proceed with their college football season and make something of it substantially and don't have any adverse health side effects, somebody's going to be right, somebody's going to be not, and the Big Ten will fall on the wrong side of history. However, you're looking at what's taking place right now. North Carolina canceling in-person classes when students had already been back on campus for a week. You have Notre Dame with a large amount of positive tests, over 150 in the past 48 hours, and they have put their in-person instruction online for 2 weeks with the possibility it might be done completely. You have Michigan State within the Big Ten saying we are going to forego our plans to bring students back for on-campus learning. So how does it make sense? How does it make sense that one conference can say one thing and another conference can say another? At this point, we wait and see again. At least I will round out this long rant by saying we have some words and we have some reasoning by Kevin Warren. You may not like them. You may not agree with them. You certainly should agree that it took 8 days way too freaking long for him to release this kind of statement, for the Big Ten Conference and the office of the league to release such a statement. But at least at this point, we have some reasoning. And I think everything that has been involved in this, right? Everything that has come from this lack of transparency, all of the crazy things that have happened in these past 8 days led to Kevin Warren making this statement. It shouldn't have been that way. He should have had it backed up, ready to go last Tuesday evening when the Big Ten decided to postpone their season. However, everything, all-encompassing, Sir Yacht, parents protesting, Justin Fields' petition, everything, I think it shouldn't have, but it forced Kevin Warren's hand. And he needed to say something, and at least finally we have something. We can talk about that, sure. But again, as I said in the emergency podcast when it happened, the decision is final. And we can be mad about how we got to this point. We can be mad about the lack of transparency, the lack of leadership. We can be mad about what the future might hold. But at the end of the day, the decision has now been confirmed final from the league office. We now know what the present looks like for the Big Ten. We forge on to a possible spring season or bringing back the fall sports season as quickly as possible. So, as the present looks a little bleak, we look towards the future. So with so much uncertainty in the present, we look to the future now on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. And joining us is a man that can provide that perspective for us. It is Alex Simpson. He's a college football recruiting analyst for Rivals.com, covers a little bit of USC, also has a great knowledge of the overall recruiting landscape across the entire country. So Alex, thank you very much for making your debut here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Although I know you are not a stranger to the Locked On Podcast Network. You and Asher Lowe, the host of Locked On Badgers, are pretty good buds, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, no, Asher and I have known each other since we were probably in like third or fourth grade. I go way back with that guy. So it's really nice to be able to, you know, be a part of this Locked On community. I'm thankful for the opportunity to hop on Locked On Big Ten and just to share my perspective. I mean, I just really look forward to diving deep on recruiting, you know, diving deep on, you know, just so much unknown in the college football landscape right now. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to diving in on it.
You have a unique perspective right now because yourself, a former three-star linebacker coming out of high school, in these crazy times when you don't know exactly what's going to happen in high school sports, but as we look, especially at college football right now with the Big Ten postponing their season until the spring, let's call a spade a spade, they canceled the fall sports season. What is that like if you're a high school recruit looking to take that next step to the next level?
Right. So, I mean, especially for some guys that are three-star, two-star, you know, some of the more underrated recruits. I mean, if you look at some more of the guys like five-stars and four-stars that are, you know, got offers from almost everywhere around the country, you know, they already have their recruiting pretty much taken care of. They already have a list of 15 to 20 schools already looked through. But if you're a two-star or three-star guy, your list is limited, man. You don't really have many options right now. You may have a few scholarship offers, so you're probably already committed, hopefully. But, you know, my advice to recruits right now is to commit sooner than later right now because there's so much unknown in the recruiting space. The Mountain West has also canceled their season. Out in the Midwest, the MAC has also canceled the Group of Five. Right. The Pac-12 on the West Coast is also canceled. I mean, these are seasons that continue to keep on canceling. High school football is also continuing to cancel. California has canceled. Utah, surprisingly, still playing. Oregon is canceled. But it's just crazy how many – Pennsylvania, I know is canceled. People all across the country are canceling or not canceling. But I tell you what, with so much unknown right now, it's just best to secure that spot. You commit sooner than later. And you know what? Market yourself as quickly as you can. And market yourself the best of your ability. You know what? I'm going to tell you guys this right now. As a 16- and 17-year-old kid, being a college football recruit, the biggest thing you could do is self-marketing. This is you learning marketing techniques as such a young person, such a young man. You're learning marketing before you even enter a college classroom. You have to market yourself on your Twitter platform, you know, using your height, your weight, your ACT or SAT score, which now, as I'm hearing from the NCAA, the SAT and the ACT is no longer a requirement for the 2021 guys entering into their college, you know, years right now because of the COVID pandemic. It's no longer a requirement right now. You still have to get admitted into the school. So think about that as well when you're, you know, taking some of these tests. But you know what? Just having all that information in your bio. Also putting your Huddle link out there. These are all things that are going to set you up for success. Your GPA. You know, having all of that info in front of you, so that when a college coach clicks on your Twitter profile, he has your entire resume of what he's looking at. He's got your ACT score. He's got your GPA. He's got your height and your weight. You've got your film right there in front of you. You got a great picture. You got your full name. You got your, for example, for me, it's Alex Simpson in your bio. Make sure you have your full name or your full Twitter name right there as your username. But you know what? This is all self-marketing to make sure to expose yourself to as many college coaches as possible. So you can put yourself on not just the regional map, but on the national map to get recruited by, you know, everybody around the country.
This insight from a personal perspective from Alex Simpson, a guy that used to be in the shoes of these recruits, as we look at the future of college football and what this all means. More from Alec coming up next. Especially right now, these coaches are not making the rounds they're used to on their recruiting trails. They're not able to get out there due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So to have some of that self-promotion, which you should be doing anyway, kind of allows you to reach a greater audience, allows you to spread that message. Now, you mentioned yourself, a former three-star linebacker recruit out of high school. If you had a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns, you were coming out of California, so let's use that state as an example. If they canceled their fall football season for you going into your senior year, how would you have approached that? Would you have just trained? Would you have tried to get onto a college campus wherever you committed as early as possible? How would have Alex Simpson dealt with that back in the day?
I think this is such an unknown territory for me and such an unknown territory for everybody else. But I think the best thing you could do is post as many videos of you working out, you know, working on that footwork, you know, getting in the weight room, you know, showing your lifting numbers, showing that you're putting up numbers and getting bigger, stronger, and faster every single day. The biggest thing you could do is let college coaches know what you're doing on a daily basis so that they're aware of you, you know, continuing to grind during these, you know, challenging and uncertain times. That's the best thing you could do, is just continue to let these coaches know, take video of yourself training. But I think what I would do right now, you know, for me, my senior season with my high school teammates was so important. I really enjoyed that time, and I got better during my senior season. I think if I looked at my junior to senior season, my junior season, I was 185 to 190 pounds playing outside linebacker, was still, you know, a Division I recruit, but I was really lanky and kind of skinny. I started to get in that weight room, and I really started to just push up my weight numbers. And I went up from 190 to 210 headed in my senior year. I started not only arm tackling guys, but I started getting guys back about 5 to 10 yards and really, you know, just taking my game to the next level. So for me, I'd want to get that senior tape out there. You know, if there's a spring season, which is what it's looking like there's going to be, I'd want to get some more senior tape out there, man. Because I think if I looked at my senior tape to junior tape, it's night and day for me from a development perspective. So I think if I'm a recruit right now, I'd want to get that senior tape out there, because you know what? There's a lot of guys that didn't become highly recruited until their senior years. A guy that I know in the state of Arizona that didn't get recruited highly until his senior year was Brock Purdy. He's now the starting quarterback at Iowa State. He's a high-level recruit. This is a guy, his recruitment came down to Iowa State and Alabama. Ultimately, ended up choosing Iowa State at the end of the day and is now one of the top quarterbacks in college football heading into this year. But I'll tell you what, man, that's a guy that needed his senior season, needed that development to be a better quarterback. And for me, I needed that senior season to be a better linebacker. So ultimately, you know, I'm going to wait it out, play that spring season, get more film, get more development, get more time with my teammates, get more acclimated to the speed of the game of football, so that by the time I get to, you know, the college level, I have game experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great point right now with the uncertainty surrounding it. Do you think there might be somewhat of a talent gap if you have some guys that could have used their senior year to take a huge step in their game? Do you think there might be a little bit of a talent gap than we're used to seeing at the collegiate level?
I think there is going to be. There's going to be a bit of a development gap, I think, with some of these guys. I mean, getting that film, getting in that in-game situation is such a key thing for the development of an athlete. You watch some of these guys in their recruiting tapes from their highlights. You see a guy from game one to game 10. He's grown exponentially throughout those 10 games. These are recruits that have gone, you know, from game one to game 10. They've probably raised in their stock from being a group of five guy to a power five guy by game 10. You know, this is why you need to have that game film. You need to become better throughout the season. Everybody grows. Everybody gets better. Everybody gets acclimated to their schemes that they're playing in. So I think it's just it's more useful to have more game film and to have more game experience than it is less game experience. I would not rush to get to the college level right away. But at the same time, when we bring up this spring season, think about this spring season and then think about going straight into a fall season. Yeah. You're going back-to-back seasons in one calendar year. And that, for me, I think takes a major toll on the body, takes a major toll on the physical just, you know, development of the athlete going forward. And for me, that would be hard for me to grasp and hard for me to take in is playing two seasons in one calendar year. I think if I look, and I'll tell you right now, the spring ball period is a lot different than, you know, a spring season and then a fall season. I think those are two completely different things.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your work for Rivals.com right now, are you noticing any trends across the collegiate football landscape in terms of how this entire time has affected recruiting?
I definitely think it's definitely affected it hugely. You know, the Rivals camps were all canceled. The only camp that was actually – the only one that took place was the one in Los Angeles. The whole tour didn't get to take place. Rivals also has this huge thing called the Rivals Five-Star Challenge, which is usually held in one major city each year. And in this year, it was supposed to be New Orleans, which no longer happened because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But these are all camps where kids are able to get exposure on a national spotlight at a camp like Rivals or at some of these more Under Armour camps. These are all camps where kids become higher-level recruits. They become higher-level athletes. And that's why it's really difficult for some of these guys to get that exposure right now. They don't have that opportunity. They don't have these camps to go to. They don't have these recruiting analysts watching them. And they don't get to be able to get rated because there's such a limited time frame for them to get rated because there are no camps. So they're really basically getting rated off of their workout videos or limited showcases that there are right now.
So many thanks again to Alex Simpson for coming on today's podcast. Make sure to give him a follow for all of your college football recruiting needs. He breaks things down from a perspective of having played the sport. He has such a tremendous amount of knowledge about the X's and O's of football and coming from that background of being a big-time three-star recruit himself. Great perspectives on this, has a great vision about how he goes about creating his content. Make sure to give him a follow at AlexSimpson5 on Twitter. AlexSimpson5 at AlexSimpson5 on Twitter. Thank you very much to Alex Simpson. And because he was so great, giving you that insight, giving you the perspective of what it would be like to be in the shoes of a big time college football recruit right now, we will hear from Alex again on tomorrow, Friday's episode. We'll get a little bit more into the future of the Big Ten recruiting rankings and what the 2021 class, what the 2022 class, what those futures are looking like for the 14 Big Ten football programs when it comes to recruiting. So much uncertainty right now. So much uncertainty. So as we await answers in the present, again, we will take a look and try to glean some happiness from the future. So Alex Simpson coming back on tomorrow, Friday's podcast. Really, to end your week, it's like we're back to a daily format. We had Wednesday, Thursday, and then tomorrow on Friday. Then back to your regularly scheduled programming starting next week. We'll be back Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on the Locked On Big Ten Show. Until we talk tomorrow on Friday, have a splendid day.